This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
FUBAR Radio and UN Women UK present a live 24-hour radio show.
24 hours.
Still listening to the 24-hour radio marathon presented by FUBAR Radio and UN Women UK for the He for She Arts Week.
Do you know what? I love that little clip then. You are still listening to this. Like, yes, 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 you are. Thank you very much. If you have just joined us, welcome. This is a FUBAR Radio. I'm Rachel Downey. I am here for the entire live 24 hours. I'd like a medal, I think, when I finish. Do you think yes.
That? You definitely deserve a medal.
A medal.
I think you need something more than a medal. Well, like this is
bed.
You're literally
come on now.
It's like medal.
She needs a gift set of the toys from
Annabelle. Annabelle Knight. Yes.
Annabelle Knight.
Our love and
a
sex
trophy.
Expert.
I was thinking a trophy.
Yeah.
A trophy's good. I wouldn't mind a trophy, but a medal I could wear every day. And then people stop me and say, Rach, what's that medal about? And I say, look, let me tell you, sit down.
Okay, I see where you're going, Rach. I see you, girl.
Because I'm not doing it silently. Just sitting there. Let everyone know. I'm about keeping things to myself. Isita, what made you go and become a rapper? What, you know, how did that happen?
I don't know. It just sort of happened. So I didn't
wake up one day.
It's a very social and cultural thing where I'm from. I'm from East London, you know, home of Dizzy Rascal, Wiley, Roll Deep. I went to school with Jason Black, who you know now, who's in Roll Deep, who now owns a Crepe Protect brand. So it's like literally, it was just everyone had either decks or was doing stuff in their room, and I used to just roll and ended up, you know, in the youth club Oxford House, where a lot of MCs come from, and literally they used to throw, you know, parties so that young people weren't on the streets every couple of weeks. And it used to be boys around the mic all the time, just boys. And I remember there was a girl on there, and she wasn't very good, but because she was a girl, she was, and a lot of them fancied her, so she was like, they were all like, and I was thinking to myself, she's not that good. So I went home and I wrote some bars, and I came back, and so yeah, and I got a lot of love, and I just kept going.
That's brave to do that, by the way. Were you aware of that? I suppose, again, youth means a lot of the time you don't have that fear that us adults have.
Exactly. And it was sometimes a fight, because it was a bit of a novelty, so they'd give it to me. But after all, I was like, why does she still want the mic back? We've given you your 16. And so it'd be like fighting to get back. And even to this day, like a lot of things within music, I've had to, if we're thinking about being a woman producer and MC, it's definitely the only reason I started engineering, because I recorded my whole album myself, as in arranged it, and then I got it mixed, and I had to start getting equipment because I felt like people weren't taking me seriously. A lot of the men that I were working with were, so it'd be like, oh, can you just do this? And they'd be like, oh no, that's not possible. And I'd be just like, I'm really sure you can do that. And I literally would be having these fights all the time. So I was like, you know what, I'm gonna buy a Mac and I'm gonna get Logic and I'm gonna learn how to edit my own vocals and record them, and then
that was literally
just to bypass the ego. Do you know what I mean? That I came across. And I think for the biggest thing that I'm finding, I'm skipping a bit here, is I think that there's a real need for women who actually manage other women and works. Big up
I was just here saying I've recently started managing an artist.
So,
but as I was saying to Rachel and Erfa and everybody that was in here, that her thing was that she was really happy that she had a female, because obviously she had males before. I mean, it's only new. This year thing. But I mean, it's different. It is a different world. And I guess, you know, we'll see how it goes. But I do totally get what you're saying.
Yeah, and they do exist. I mean, there are women managers out there, but it's just such a small number, and what you have to come against. And I think for me, what I found is, as an MC particularly, I know it's quite an industry where people have to give their best and say they're the best, but I found that a lot of girls were pit against each other, but it was by managers. It was like, see them as your competition. So I get on with certain girls
women
in the industry.
Women are always pitted against each other.
And I was just like, and then suddenly there'd be this big wall, and their managers would be giving me dirty looks across the room, and suddenly like, oh, they weren't picking up their phone for studio. And I was just like, you know what? And this, and I was told, oh, you need to send for someone.
Yeah, do you know what? It's funny that you say that because I watched an interview with Lady Leisha.
Yeah.
And she said that she turned down a record deal because what they wanted her to do was go up against Nicki Minaj.
But it was
literally just.
That's
but then
normal. Says it all, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But then that they was only offering her that because they wanted her to actually go at Nicki rather than giving her the deal because she's talented.
Nice.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Shame it's like that.
For me, I want to champion women in the business of music. You know what I mean? Much, much more. Not being driven. Because I think at the end of the day, when women, and I think the people are like, oh, why aren't there more women rappers in the UK? I mean, in general. But I think it's because there's... what we want to do inside, and when we're managed by men, and I'm not against men, I'm not saying men can't manage women, but I think there's a big issue with them having an idea of what you should do, how you should approach your music, and you're literally dictated to. You know, I've had like quite a lot of managers to the point where I'm like, I don't want a manager right now. Like, I self-manage, and perhaps if I did have a manager, things might be moving in some ways in a different direction, but I'm like, actually I'm happy because I'm not having someone calling me saying you need to do this, you need to do that, telling me what I need to say in interviews. I'm like, lie that. Like, I'm no, do, leave me alone.
Do you, do you find, like, for example, you have found there's female managers that they actually try and take that masculine role, so they're not actually embracing the things that you'd expect from a woman, but actually that's trying to be them, like trying to emulate what the man's doing and trying to have that way as well, is there?
Yeah, well, to be honest, I've only I had a stint with you know what, I had a really bad experience with a woman manager who was actually worse than all the men, to be honest. But that is, I think that's to do with the individual.
Yeah.
And that's a shame as well that she does that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to have to say my farewells to you guys.
That's all right.
I'm so sorry, I could chat to you for ages.
Again,
I actually could. I've got the time. Got the window. No, nothing. No chairs, no takers. Thanks. I just want to thank, obviously, Amanda Starr, Eartha Pond, and Isatea Sherry. Thank you so
much. Thank you for having us.
Five, girl.
Amazing.
You are great. Don't tell me, show me. You're here doing the thing. You're rooting, you're going on, you've revamped, you've pulled the choke out, you've revved the engine.
She's on the grapes,
And I will be thinking about you when I eat my breakfast in the morning, you know what I mean?
You've got to listen in.
Positive thinking, please. Well, guys, thank you so much for being bloody fantastic. You really have. And we're going to leave you with Edge of 17 by Stevie Nicks. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Woo, see you later.
Yeah.
And that was Edge of 17 by Stevie Nicks. Welcome back. This is, well, we are 3 minutes past two in the morning. This is FUBAR Radio. Thank you for joining us for the live 24-hour marathon extravaganza. I can't think of any other word to describe it. We're all here for the He for She campaign. We would love your donations. All money donated is going towards change the reality for women and girls globally. So if you can text UNWN15 followed by the amount you would like to donate to 770. I'm joined in the studio by my co-host for the next few hours, the wonderful Faith Orr. Faith, welcome.
Thank you very much, Rachel. I don't think we should be speaking about me, though. How exactly are you coping so far?
I don't know, my darling. I don't know. Do you know what? It's very lovely to see your face. I do know Faith very, very well. And I, do you know what? I think, now, I might be cocky when I say this. And I think I am.
Oh.
I was about to say, it's quite mind over matter when it comes to tiredness. I think if you, and like the adrenaline of the show and everything, you don't actually feel it.
No, it's true. Like, I worked overnight for the Oscars last weekend and it finished. It was 6 a.m. and I was standing in the gallery. I haven't done all the live output for like the past 6 hours. And the sound guy actually said to me, "It's over. You can leave." And I was just standing there in shock, like, really? And there was no sleep. Like, no, it's completely adrenaline. You just go, yes. you just go. The sun will be up before you know it.
And I literally can't wait to see the sun. And Faith, for people that think, oh, who is Faith? Oh, she sounds very interesting. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I mean, I'm not really that interesting.
Yes, you are. I like you.
Well, I mean, I'm not sure if that's a good thing for me, but okay,
true,
thanks,
Faith.
Rach.
Yeah.
I am a journalist. I am a freelance journalist. I work for BBC World. I work for another international company called Arise. I'm just back from Nigeria, where I've been for the past month working for Arise. And I also do some stuff for magazines, but I'm sure we'll chat about that a bit later.
Yeah, but we definitely will, because on the phone lines right now, we have yet another journalist all the way in LA, Andy Tiller. Andy, hello.
Hi there. Good afternoon, evening, morning. How are you doing, Rachel?
I think I'm doing okay, Andy. I think I am. It's wonderful to have you on the show. Thank you for joining us. You're a freelance journalist. You've contributed for the Daily Mail, Daily Mirror, and many more. And you're living, is it in LA at the moment?
I am. I am currently watching the dusk set over the Hollywood Hills.
Well, I kind of hate you, Andy. Is that allowed? Can I hate the guest right now?
I'm jealous.
Yeah, totally jealous.
Sorry, I'm trying to make it sound, you know, more exciting and descriptive than it is. I can actually see a homeless man pushing a cart and an office block from the window that I'm at. So,
back down to reality. This is what we like. This is what we like. So, first of all, what are you doing out in LA? What has brought you out there?
Okay, I work for a number of different magazines and newspapers, and I'm a foreign correspondent from here, writing about anything that sort of seems to appeal as far as Hollywood and entertainment, music, and current affairs. It's been interesting 5 years that I've been here now.
Wow, 5 years.
I've seen a lot of changes, yeah. But, you know, I'm just a very normal reporter.
You mentioned that you've seen a lot of changes. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, especially in the last 6 or 7 months, we've had the huge women's empowerment movement known as the hashtag MeToo campaign, and also the hashtag Time's Up campaign, which have sort of tried to start ushering in a new era of equality in Hollywood, which has been very interesting to talk about and to cover and to hear or see the progress of. And that was, one of the reasons they wanted me to call in today.
And it is an incredible time, isn't it? Like, there really has been, the last few months, such a big shift. Can you see that shift? Do you think this is the beginning, in a way, of a new era, thanks to the hashtag MeToo and hashtag Time's Up?
I think that it is the start of something, most definitely. I feel that, you know, there's a lot of there's a lot of talk, and there's a lot of people who have been, you know, named, shamed, taken down, assessed as being sexual predators of, you know, and having committed heinous, heinous things in Hollywood. But I also feel that on balance, you know, there's still a lot of people out there in Hollywood who have conducted themselves in rather terrible ways, and they don't just all of a sudden stop doing these sort of things overnight, you know. And one of the tough parts about specifically the sexual abuse in Hollywood, or sexual assault in Hollywood, like revelations, is that, you know, these are things that happen behind closed doors. These are things that happen on casting couches, and these are things that are also, because they're crimes of a physical, a sexual nature, quite hard to prove in many, many cases. That's why, you know, there have been very few criminal convictions as a result of this. But as far as, you know, bringing in awareness and making, like, more men and more people, like, aware of the fact that women haven't been treated equally, not just in Hollywood and not just as actors, but in, you know, all different industries and walks of life, we're now seeing, you know, politicians being exposed and powerful business leaders and things like that as well. And, you know, hopefully it is, you know, the start of a new era of equality. I mean, you know, we've heard for many years about the pay gap between women and men in various industries and things like that. And I don't think that at the same time people realise that, you know, sexual harassment and sexual assault were as commonplace as they are.
And Andy, you were saying there, you know, specifically to Hollywood. I mean, we saw at the Oscars, for instance, there was no dress code like there had been at perhaps previous awards ceremonies. And the women who've been organising this, they say it's because it might have, you know, taken place on the red carpet, but that's not the future of the campaign. Like, you're in Hollywood. What do you see as the future of these campaigns in that area?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's interesting because you say, you know, the dress code and people speaking out, that's one, like, way of raising awareness, but it's not, you know, it's hard to see how that's going to tangibly change into people's attitudes changing straight up. It's difficult. It's a very conflicted position that LA has. I mean, there is a huge billboard, for example, on Sunset Boulevard, which is the Time's Up official billboard, which has a big hashtag and says Time's Up supports the movement. If you drive maybe 2 miles down the same road, there's another billboard which advertises something called Sugar Models, which is where girls can sign up and get an online sugar daddy. And it says, or it did used to say, it changed now, but it says on it, you know, never pay for anything again. And I think that sort of, you know, pictorially exemplifies the different mixed messages that Hollywood sort of promotes, you know what I mean? Not promotes as an industry, but that are, you know, starkly contrasted and that people walk and see every day.
And the media over here particularly has been, you know, quite harsh with these sorts of Me Too revelations coming out with any of the people that have been exposed. But how has different sections of the media been reacting in the States?
Well, I mean, it's something that is championed very much by the what Donald Trump would call the liberal fake news media. and so and it's something that's been given a lot of coverage too. And, you know, it's people, you know, have voices and outlets and blogs and Facebooks and places where they can, you know, voice their opinions and things now, which is a good thing. But also when we're dealing with things like accusations of a sexual nature against people, it's difficult because, you know, in certain cases you have the likes of people who, you know, we know are horrible, terrible sexual predators, like Harvey Weinstein. And then in other examples, you get somebody writing on a blog, I can't remember the name of the blog, but about their experience with Aziz Ansari. And there's a lot of debate in the media about whether what he did was enough to sort of be defined as sexual assault and sexual harassment. And these are the things that are not very easily defined and aren't defined in the same way by different sections of people, thus making the whole subject itself something that's still being defined. But, you know, again, it's a good thing that we're having this debate and conversation about it at this time, and it's, you know, like we keep saying, you know, hopefully the start of a new thing that just doesn't, you know, only take place in Hollywood and Los Angeles, but is transposed and encourages women to stand up all around the world and demand their equality.
And we see, you know, we see things like, say, celebrities posting on social media using the hashtags like Me Too. Do you think these celebrities with these big followings, these big socials, do you think they have an influence on this agenda, or is it, you know, or do you think some celebrities might be using that hashtag just to get the likes and the follows?
Yeah, it's
a hard one, isn't it, with this campaign?
It's really tough because, yeah, I mean, I know exactly what you're saying. There's I'm not going to name well, I might as well, whatever. You know, there's like, for example, there is a young Hollywood actress who came forward and she was like, well, I was abused when I was a child. It was terrible. And that is horrific. But she refused to give any actual details. And even the actress's own mother was completely clueless as to how this supposedly happened under her roof, which makes you sort of wonder why, you know, what whether there could be an element of people doing these sort of things for attention, which would be the worst thing imaginable. But, you know, in today's world, like, it's hard sometimes to separate what's real from what's fake. I mean, for example, yesterday or the day before, Kim Kardashian released a bunch of Kimojis for International Women's Day.
Kimojis.
And immediately decried as being a very callous and shallow money grab rather than her support for a valid women's movement.
That says it all, doesn't it? Let's all get a Kimoji. I mean, Andy, how American. Well, no, but how horrendous. So, Andy, moving forward, I mean, think in, I don't know, a year's time, we're still going to be talking about the Me Too Time's Up campaign? How do you see things evolving and changing over the next few years?
Well, personally, what I would like to see would be a consensus as to which hashtag we're going to use. Is it going to be Me Too or is it going to be Time's Up?
Yeah.
I mean, that would be a starting point.
Yeah, definitely. Which one are we going with? And then do you see the change? Do you see?
Well, I think that more people are going to demand these things called inclusion riders on their contracts, which means that more, you know, ethnic minorities and people of different backgrounds will be hired to work on films. Obviously, I'm actually talking about something completely different here, excuse me. but I think, you know, it's something that's going to stay in people's minds, and I think it's something that people will champion, and I think that, you know, it's encouraged women to band together more, and hopefully it's the start of actual positive change in lots of different industries. But at the same time, being realistic about it, you know, people have been doing things to get film roles in Hollywood since Hollywood was created in like 1911 or whatever it was, and I don't think that's actually going to completely go away, unfortunately. I don't think that it's as easy as making, you know, doing a few hashtags and putting a few button pins on and getting rid of a few of the people at the top. I think that, you know, it's going to take a revolution in the people who are running the movie industry and the people at the very top positions to be changed or to be ousted completely before, you know, we'll see any real change. But that, hopefully in time, as we grow as a worldwide culture, will happen.
Yeah, well,
I hope.
Yeah, hope. Andy, thank you so much for talking to us today. I'm so happy at least we can have these conversations. Things are changing. I just think it's going to be a slow change. I really do, sadly. Thank you for talking to us. Enjoy LA.
Thank you. I will hopefully leave my office soon and enjoy a very, very sexual harassment free night. But I'm a man, so. You know.
That's amazing.
You enjoy that, Andy.
Oh, Andy, thank you so, so much. Take care, Andy.
Take care, guys, and good luck with the marathon, all right?
Thank you. Bye. I think that's brilliant. I'm going to enjoy a sexual harassment free night.
I mean, you know,
fair enough.
Yeah.
It's absolutely fair enough. And you know what? He probably is.
He probably is. Do you know what is brilliant, though? You know, he spoke there about kind of monetizing the International Women's Day, the Kim Kardashian. Speak about monetizing it. I got a text message in International Women's Day from a clinic in London that shall go unnamed, suggesting that to celebrate International Women's Day, I should get some laser hair removal and they would give me 50% off.
No. No.
Yeah, I think they might be missing the point a little bit.
Wow. See, I don't know why we're still surprised by this.
I know.
You know, we've still got a long way to go to change, I think. Yeah. Faith, you've been a journalist, you've been in the industry for many years now.
I have.
Do you still come across a lot of sexism? How do you deal with it? I can't imagine you shy away from confronting things. Like how I said that. It's very diplomatic.
I enjoyed that. Actually, I do and I don't. Like, the BBC is obviously a very straightforward sort of organisation. Mm. We have seen the famous ones recently, like Carrie Gracie, the China editor, you know, she resigned because she wasn't being paid as much as her male counterparts. You know, working with the BBC, what they're trying to do overall is bring costs down. Mm. So they're trying to reduce wages as a whole, but regardless of that, you know, she should have been paid the same as the men doing the same job as her. She is getting her back pay now. So they have those kind of big scandals. The BBC's quite straight-laced, I find. Mm. You know, as a whole, when I'm in there, I don't really feel like I'm treated any differently to my male colleagues. At my level, I think we're all pretty much paid the same. They pay for the role. There is other organisations that I think, yes, I do come across much more of that. Like, there's one of my colleagues, even today, he seems to have this weird fascination with the food on my plate. I had chicken and roast veg for my dinner today, and he was like, oh, that looks really heavy. Like, aren't you watching your weight? Well, if I want to watch my weight go up, or if I want to watch my weight go down, or if I want to watch my weight stay exactly the same, that is entirely none of your business.
Really isn't, Eddie. Oh, wow. He's a brave man to say that to you.
I know.
A very, very brave man.
But so you get these kind of comments. And I think as well, when you do, you know, I'm based in London, but I do obviously travel and other countries as well, that they perhaps say things that you just would never dream of saying in London, you know.
But is that because they don't know any different? Do you think some people don't know they're causing offence? Or is that an easy excuse?
I think it's also just like a culture thing, you know. Like, I'm just back from Nigeria and, I mean, everything's different. You know, the way you drive on the roads is entirely different. Mm. It's like, so if someone cuts you up in the road, I mean, here you kind of might, you know, beep the horn, be a bit upset. In Nigeria, in Abuja, it's standard practice to pull alongside the other person. You both wind your windows down and you both shout like mad at each other.
Oh my.
I mean, that's just what happens.
I can imagine
hilarious.
You in the car when you see that for the first time.
Yeah, well, I was in the work van and someone was like cutting us off at the right hand side. So we had to move left. But of course, that annoyed the guy at the left. And so he wound his window down, our driver wound the window down, and they were screaming at each other. The driver was trying to explain it wasn't me, it was the other guy on the right.
That's brilliant, not me.
Yeah, and then the cameraman who was in the back, and you know what cameramen are like, they can be a bit, you know, spiky at the best of times, kind of dramatically swipes the window in the back open, and he's hanging out the back of the van like, are you blind? It was one of the funniest things that's ever happened to me.
Oh my God, that's brilliant. That's absolutely brilliant.
So that's what I mean. So like, in a culture when things are so different, where that's the norm, then you're gonna encounter sexism and things, but I'm not really sure they mean it as a sort of derogatory, you know. It's just
what they know, it's what they've seen, it's learned behavior.
Well, it's just the way that things are. It's just the way it is.
And you were out there for 3 weeks, just over 3 weeks.
Almost four.
And you were working, what were you doing out there?
So there was a few different things. I mean, I do a lot of things in the studio.
like yourself, Rachel, but also out and about filming a few different reports, one of which was slightly dull, was a petroleum summit. Of course, Nigeria is like one of the world's biggest oil producers, yeah. So they have these big summits. Vice President kept us waiting for 3 hours.
That was good. That's nice.
Yeah.
Good,
yeah.
Good,
I mean,
day's
he is the vice president of, you know, the most populous country in Africa. So
you kind of can give
yeah,
in that.
Yeah, I'm not really going to argue with
no.
them.
I wouldn't.
But I got hungry. I got a bit hangry.
Yeah. You don't want us to get hangry.
No, I got a bit hangry. So that was one of the reports. And it was just like all of the way that they're going to be moving from oil into gas and finding a future, and also making sure that it benefits the communities that the oil's coming out of, because a lot of these areas are still, you know, quite a lot of poverty and a lot of oil leaks and, you know, children not in education and things. So there was one guy kind of stood up and shouted at the speakers at the front that actually this money needs to be coming to the local areas that this oil's coming out of. So even although it's kind of like a dull business summit, there's still all of that passion from the local people who are just like, this isn't fair. We want this, you know, we want the benefits of this. You've got all of the money.
It's incredible. I love hearing all the stories about your time out there and the work you're doing. Lots more I want to talk to you about, but we're going to go for a little breather. We are going to listen to Free Your Mind by En Vogue. Don't go anywhere. Back in a few minutes.
Prejudice. Wrote a song about it. Like to hear it? Here you go.
Free your mind.
Now.
I really wanted to start singing them, but I'm quite glad I didn't, Faith.
Well, so am I.
I think we're all quite glad. If you have just joined us, welcome to FooBar Radio. We are doing the 24-hour live marathon show, all for the UN Women UK He For She campaign. We would love your donations. All money donated is going towards changing the reality for women and girls globally. Just text UNWN15, followed by the amount you would like to donate to 770. I would like to carry on chatting, but we've got another guest on the phone lines. On the phone lines right now, we have Maya Jupiter. Maya, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi.
Hello, Maya. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you? I was going to say this fine day. It's 2:30 in the morning here.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, it's pretty much, oh, gosh.
It's 1:30 where I'm in Sydney, Australia at the moment.
Oh, wow.
And it is a lovely sunny afternoon.
We are so happy for you.
I bet it's really warm.
But it's warm and lovely. And beautiful.
I don't mean to brag.
But it is lovely. Maya, you are a rapper, a songwriter and radio presenter. Tell us, first of all, how did you first get into the industry? Was it your music? Was it your writing? Or was it via presenting?
That's hilarious. That's funny because, you know, I started writing raps when I was about 14 years old. So it was always a love of hip-hop and hip-hop culture that has driven me. And I just started doing a bit of community radio, and then I started facilitating workshops with youth and teaching kind of songwriting workshops. Oh, wow. And then through that, I was offered to become a presenter on a Channel V, which is a music television station here in Australia. But it was always music first, and sort of, I think people in the UK can identify with trying to promote our own individual identity. So for me, it was Australian hip hop, you know, kind of going against the bombardment of American culture all the time and, you know, trying to showcase Australian voices and what we had on offer. But I also have a lot of love and affinity for the UK hip hop scene. I used to support a lot of British artists on the station through interviews and things like that all the time too.
I think it's incredible the amount of people I've spoken to so far, and their stories, their journeys into the industry. Has it been tough as a female in this industry? What kind of obstacles have you come across?
Oh,
where do I begin?
It's funny because there's a lot of reflection that goes on sort of as you get a bit older and start thinking about, oh, that stuff was very sexist, or, you know, I think when I was in it and I was a young 18, 19-year-old, I wasn't quite aware of what was going on. Mm. But now I can sort of reflect and say there were definitely times, I mean, even recently, even in the last 10 years, I'm now living in the United States. I live in Los Angeles, but I came back home to do a show, and there was still this business of people in the front audience saying, you know, show us your tits, and yelling out at me. And I couldn't believe
horrendous.
It. I thought, I can't believe that this still exists.
Yeah.
Like, there's an actual song that they break into that they start to sing. And, you know, stuff like that happening.
How do you deal with that?
I used to host clubs. You know, I actually, at that moment when I was on stage, I just started doing a freestyle, and I just freestyled about them and sort of, you know,
brilliant.
put them in their place.
Yeah.
And because I just use the medium of hip-hop to be able to, you know, say what I felt like saying. But, you know, there were times even I used to host clubs and dudes would just try to take the microphone away from me. And I'd have to physically hold on to it and fight for it and say, no, I'm getting paid. Like, I work here. You can't just snatch it. And that's stuff that, you know, guys wouldn't do to other dudes. But I mean, hip hop as a whole, I mean, we could spend an hour talking about
of course,
levels of sexism and machoism and stuff that exists within that. I mean, you know, in Australia especially, it was like, God forbid that you were feminine. If you were feminine, oh, you must be a hoe or a slut or whatever, you know. So it was like, when I first came up, I used to wear, you know, the baggiest jeans and baggy T-shirts and try to be as male as I could be. I never embraced my femininity because it was a thing of more about being respected. You know, it's like, oh no, they're not going to respect me if I'm too feminine, because that would be mean that I'm sexy. And it was got to a point where it didn't matter what I did. Like, I'm half Mexican, half Turkish. I know how to dance salsa and do all this kind of stuff. And so on stage, I'd always have fun in my shows. And I remember reading a comment online, someone saying, oh, she just shakes her hips, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I can't win. It's like, it's no matter what, I'm a B girl, but because I shake my hips too much, you know, then I'm not down enough. I'm not real enough. I'm not hard enough, whatever. So, and so after a certain point, you just kind of let it go.
For females, other females wanting to get into not only the music industry, but the hip hop side of the industry, what advice would you give them, and how can we get more females involved?
You know, there's actually always been, in my experience, especially in Sydney, it's been a lot of women and a lot of voices, a lot of female voices that exist. It's just the platform, and it's also the same as people of colour. Like, it's the same thing. Mm. You're kind of striving to have that opportunity, to have the chance to not just be an opening act, but a headline act. And, you know, and when it comes to festivals, like, who are we putting up on those stages? And I used to do, facilitate a lot of all-women hip-hop workshops, like songwriting workshops, where we would write and record our own music, even produce our own beats. And I found that they had to be all female, because as soon as a male, and we're talking about teenagers here, as soon as a young male is in the space, he dominates the space. And then other women kind of, and this is just a cultural thing. And other, you know, young girls will be intimidated to jump on the drums or to say their rhyme out loud. It's kind of like, it's just the way that things have been for such a long time. And I think we are finally turning a corner where men are starting to do the work themselves, which is why I love this idea of he for she campaign, because it's like, this is their stuff that they need to, you know, deal with. They need to figure out how to dismantle patriarchy, you know?
Yeah.
This is up to them. Like, we've already been saying what we need to say. We've already been outspoken, but now it's time for them to do their part in this fight, you know, and to understand the privilege that they have as men.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, there's a lot of conversation in the UK right now demanding that more women to be put on festival lineups. Is that happening in Australia? What's it like out in Australia? And also, I know that you're headlining Four Elements Festival.
I am tonight, and I'm so excited about that, about kind of going back to my roots a little bit. Thanks, town. But I think I can't say, because I don't live here anymore, so I don't know, you know, from within, but from the outside looking in now, from the sense I'm getting, it seems to be changing a little bit, but it's still, you know, there's still a lot more work to do. Definitely further to go. I feel like there are female MCs. We just need to give them the space and the platform and the opportunity, you know, because they've been since 20 years ago, since I was coming up here, there've been these voices. And they still exist, and there's other younger MCs who, you know, a new generation, it's like nothing holds them back. They're just, you know, they can do everything at home now. You don't need to pay for big studio fees. You can record your own music, put it up online on your SoundCloud, YouTube, whatever. So there's a lot more independence there and a lot more ways to showcase your voice and your talent, you know. So I think thanks to that as well, we have more opportunity to recognize them. The problem is like, mainstream radio needs to catch up. You know, they need to start not just sort of playing the same old again. And this is something you see in America. It's like, there's only room for one female MC at one time. Like, there can only be a Nicki Minaj. You know, there can't be a Cardi B and a Nicki Minaj at the same time. Like, only one can occupy that space.
It's ridiculous.
And I think that's crap. I think there's plenty of room for all of us.
Yeah, there really, really is. Maya Jupiter, I could talk to you for a lot longer. I really have, but we are running out of time. Thank you so much for talking to us today. I really, really appreciate it. And good
Thanks
luck
for having
later
me.
On.
Thank you. Have a great morning.
Thank you very much, Maya. You take care.
All the best. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. So lovely and so true. Have a good morning. We yep. need a good morning. Don't go anywhere. We're going to take a little musical interlude. We'll be back very shortly.
FUBAR Radio and UN Women UK present a live 24-hour radio show.
24 hours.
Welcome back. This is Foo Bar Radio. My name is Rachel Downey. I'm joined by the lovely Faith Orr.
Hi, Rachel.
Yeah.
That's Rachel. Probably the nicest you've been to me in a long time. The
it's
lovely
Faith
Orr.
I mean, I feel dirty just for saying it. remember, we are here for the He For She campaign, all to do with UN Women UK. It's an incredible campaign, all about gender equality. The point of this live 24-hour marathon is, I'm going to swallow, to raise awareness and money for the campaign. We are here until, well, I'm here. I ain't dragging you down with me, babe.
No.
This
you've
is a got
solo me for
ship.
Another hour and a bit, and yeah, you're on your own.
It's delightful. You know when someone loves you so much, you're on your own, babe. But to support the He For She campaign and us here at Foo Bar Radio, could you text UNW15, followed by the amount you want to donate to 770. We have gone on about the text details a lot. If it's confused you, or you just thought, wait, Rachel, I don't understand, I don't have a pen and paper handy, just go to londonartsweek.org and everything is on there for you. We're going to go to another guest. I feel it's time. I feel we're probably boring you. Well, I probably am. I'm not going to, again, drag you down with me, Faith.
Thanks.
It's unfair.
Thanks, Rich.
Anytime, babe. On the phone right now, we've got Hill Bowman. Hill, hello.
Hello.
How are you, Hill?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Very good. Thank you so much for joining us here today. It's lovely to have you here. Now, I'm reading your bio. You create art for stage, film, comic books, which is so cool, and personal commissions. You are a native of California as well, and your current work includes the graphic novel Cirrus, The Red Storm, a collection of short stories in comic book form entitled And All That Jazz. So much I want to ask you. First of all, how did you get involved in art? Is it something you've always done? Is it something you've always known you wanted to do?
Let's see. It's a really good question. I think that I was always kind of an artist, you know, at heart. But I ended up first off in the performance world of it, and music and dance and song. And I didn't really get into the visual arts as a career until about my mid-20s. So, you know, it's just something that you have in the back of your pocket, and then all of a sudden it comes out and it becomes your life. So that's about it. Nothing really that interesting.
But to comic books, how did it go from, you know, creating art for stage, for film, to comic books?
To be honest with you, it's all-encompassing. I do all of them all year round. So, how did it go from that? I was just, you know, I've always been able to draw. And one day I was sort of, you know, reading a really great comic book, and a friend of mine came to me and said, hey, why don't we start something together? And so I started with, you know, just a personal independent comic book project, and I just fell in love with the whole idea of putting together a story in visual format, and just sort of went from there, I guess.
And as a female, again, a question obviously that we are talking about throughout this show, quite interesting actually to ask you, what sexism have you come across from your side of things, you know, as the artist that you are?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I've been thinking about this theme a lot, you know, over the last year, as, you know, some tidal waves have been happening, especially in the film industry here in Hollywood. And I have to say that I, you know, for me personally, I don't feel like I run across it very much. You know, both my parents are lawyers. My mother is now a Superior Court judge in my hometown. Yeah, you know, and so I grew up with a very strong, powerful female as my role model. And, you know, in my household, my parents were equals. You know, they were both breadwinners. They both worked really hard and appreciated and respected each other. And so I had a really good foundation to think, oh, you know, my mom wears a suit, so does my dad. Let's all, you know, be equal. So for me personally, you know, if I ever do run into it, I like to sort of turn it back around. Like, let's say I'm, you know, on a ladder and painting a wall or a mural or something, and somebody comes up and says, hey, sweet cheeks, looking really good there painting, you know, I'll probably turn back around to them and say, thanks, darling, I appreciate so much, now get your ass moving, you know.
Like, I
like to turn it back around and just sort of make it equal. Hey, if you're gonna sort of objectify me, I'm just gonna throw it back at you, right? Yeah. Is that a bad way? I don't know. Maybe I...
No, it's...
I enjoy it.
And, you know, you are out in California. You're in California at the moment?
I am. I'm working on a set, actually. I just got off a ladder to be able to speak to you, ladies. So
you are very
fun.
Cool. Very cool. I haven't been on a ladder in... ever, I think.
Finish that sentence, Rachel.
Oh, Rachel, we're waiting for you. Ever. We were talking to a journalist not too long ago, actually, that is living out in LA about the Time's Up campaign. What's it been like, I guess, for you out there with, especially over the last few months, it's really taken hold, hasn't it, the Time's Up campaign?
It has. It's always been an interesting thing to live in a community where our actors and writers and directors, our celebrities, so to speak, are the people who try to keep movements alive. Mm. And so it's like, you know, whenever we have the platform like the Oscars or the Golden Globes, and we're able to watch our icons, our celebrities, push forward a movement, It's nice to know that I'm in that working environment that's also attempting to do so as well. And it's not just a facade. These people actually truly believe about what they're talking about, you know? So, I don't know. You know, for me, though, I'm usually working in construction around a bunch of dudes, and nobody really could care less sometimes.
Yeah. It's, again, I guess from what you see, it's very, very different because you are amongst a men and you do, it's all very banterous and it's all very, I guess you don't really see what maybe others see. Do you think maybe artists and people in the limelight use their platform enough to combat issues such as equality for women? And do people need to?
I think so. I think it's our job. It's not just a privilege to be an artist and a working artist, but it is a privilege, but it's our responsibility with that privilege to have a voice and give voice to others who may not have that right. Mm. So, I just try to live what I believe, which is, hey, I'm just as capable as that man over there at doing my job. And if I believe it, if I push forward with that belief, then the people around me will also believe it. So, I was getting sort of prepped to be asked about if I've ever been sexually harassed. And I'm trying to think back, like, I don't think so, not really. And I think that for me as a woman, I've always recognized sort of the biological impact that we have as humans on our society. And for me, you know, men are born into this world to be hunters and to be attracted to things and to want to penetrate and, you know, in all sort of forms of that the word provides. And I don't want men to feel like they can't be men, just as long as I can. You know, they respect my space, I respect their space. I don't want them to feel like they, you know, are predators if they're not. And I think that there's a lot of things happening sometimes around me where men are starting to get uncomfortable about being men. And I don't want that to happen. That's not fair. That's not equality. That's another way of, you know, publicly shaming someone for being born into a body that they have no control over. Do you know what I mean? I like to think that if I walk into a space and I'm strong in who I am, then I can't be preyed upon. I'm not a weakling. And if I walk around in the world with that kind of power in my heart, then I think other people can feel that, you know, as animals, we can feel each other's energy and spirit. And so I just like to think that I'm strong and others will see me as strong too. So, yeah. I hope that did that answer your question at all.
Brilliant. I wondered as well, you know, about your workspaces. You know, you said there that you kind of answer back if you get any kind of sexist remarks. But what kind of, you know, you have such a fascinating range of careers, but what sort of workspaces do you actually work in? And I'm also a journalist and I'm really nosy. You said you just came down off a ladder. What are you doing just now?
But let's see. I'll paint a picture for you as a painter today. I'm wearing a coverall, a little onesie coverall, and Converse, and a baseball cap. And I'm painting a set for a short film spot. And I'm the only painter on today, and there's, you know, a bunch of people building sets around me. So that's one of my workspaces. Other workspaces are theaters, and not just film sets. And my favorite workspace is probably my own private studio, though, where I can be naked and not have to wear any clothes, which is always the best. But, you know. That was a joke. I really don't paint naked. Not all the time,
not
least.
Every day, especially not on a Sunday. Well, look, brilliant. I love it already. Hal, thank you so much for taking the time out to talk to us. I really, really appreciate it. And yes, have a wonderful... It's daytime, isn't it, there? I don't know. I'm quite not with it at times over here, let alone anywhere else in the world.
So true. The sun has just gone down. It is now officially nighttime, and I'm still at work on a Friday, so fun for me.
Well, do you know what? Good.
Yeah, you get no sympathy from us
good.
Right now.
Someone else is working. Thank you so much for talking to us. It's been brilliant. You're really welcome. Appreciate it. And have a wonderful
evening.
Thank
you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Too.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye.
Cheers. Bye.
That's brilliant. Do you know what? It's very bad, but I am happy she's working.
No, I do have a bone to pick with you, Rachel. Why do we keep speaking to people who are in, like, Los Angeles and Australia and
I know,
it's sunny?
Okay.
And
I know, and they're so happy because
the
it's
sun's
sunny.
Setting and the Hollywood sign and really?
What? And they're happy and they're probably, you know, having smoothies and
I mean, I'd rather wine.
I've got a bottle of wine under there.
Like, why am I only just hearing about this?
Our friendship is going to be over very, very quickly. I was given it as a gift. Where's my gift?
You're so, my gift. Anyway, yeah, so anyway, I'm here. What more do you need?
Oh, I don't need
will
anything.
Will I stick
else?
A bow around my neck? That do?
Yes. Could
you? Absolutely not. No.
That's
no.
a shame.
Not
that's
even a
shame.
Hope. No.
We want to have another phone guest very, very shortly in just a few minutes' time. But yes, I had a lovely guest in the studio earlier called Ariel, and she bought me, it's under here, I've got a little bag, bottle of wine, there's some moisturising cream and sparkling elderflower, but there's a bottle of wine.
I mean, does
I
she know
very
you?
Well. Like, come on. Do I get, again, I keep saying this, I would like a medal when I finish, but I think just to avoid the wine, I deserve something. I'm doing well, aren't I?
Why would you avoid... Oh, you mean avoid it right now? I was thinking avoid it when you finish. No.
No.
When you finish, I'll have a massive glass and then you'll probably pass out. I mean, you know, just sheer tiredness, I think.
Yeah, I just sheer tiredness.
Make sure you're sitting down. You know, don't drink it standing up. It might
be more fun. we are going to leave you very quickly with a song underneath it all by No Doubt. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back very, very shortly.